as I have been before the Lord, and as I've been thinking and praying, I do see the Lord in mothers, my mother in particular, and I know my sons have seen the Lord in their mother, and hopefully you guys have seen the Lord in your mothers. So I do want to spend a little time this morning. It'll be a fairly brief message, and I'm going to struggle through once again the old-fashioned paper deal here, but before we get into the message, I would like to start with a word of prayer. In fact, let me put Kevin on the spot. Why don't you step up here and open our time in prayer for the word.
Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you give. I thank you for this opportunity to come to your house virtually with everybody gathered in your name. And I pray that we would hear you today, and we would also listen to you today. And in your name, amen.
Amen. So, as we begin, I just want to start with a quick story. So, it took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a gentleman by the name of Harry Harrison, and he was rabbit hunting with his good friend, Ike Wilkerson. They were hunting near Federal Road. It's a rural area in Tulsa. It was around 9 p.m. that Harry and his friend Ike returned to their vehicle. And as they were getting close to their vehicle, there were three or four men that stepped out of a nearby Buick with the intent to rob Harry and Ike. And the men that stepped out of the Buick may or may not have known that Harry was a policeman with the Tulsa Police Department. And so was his friend Ike. So the robbers may also not have known that Harry and Ike were hunting and were armed with shotguns. So the attempted robbery didn't go well, but actually the problem was Harry tried to shoot, but the shotgun misfired. And so the attackers returned fire, and the friend Ike was paralyzed. He was shot in the leg, and he was paralyzed for the rest of his life. Harry was shot in the leg, in the lung, and in the liver. And even in that condition, he got in the car and drove about a mile down the road to a nearby farmhouse, and that's where he collapsed. So Harry's friend Ike was paralyzed. Harry actually, 2 days later, it was December 20, it was 1921, when Harry Harrison Arant of the Tulsa Police Department succumbed to his gunshot wounds. He was 47 years old. He was survived by his wife, whose name was Anna, and they had two children, a daughter named Frances, she was 13 at that time, and a son who was 3 years old, his name was Paul. And so Anna, now a single mother, went on to raise her two children, and her son Paul had a fascination with radio. In fact, he's best known by his middle name, Harvey, Paul Harvey. So, I'm choked up and I'm not even to the good part yet. So, Paul Harvey, he was quite a well-known radio broadcaster for over five decades. And he was actually a lunchtime friend of mine. Every day at 12:06, I could tune in and listen to Paul Harvey's news and commentary. And as I'm looking around the room, I know none of you in here have heard Paul Harvey. And that's very unfortunate for you. But for many Americans, in fact, his radio audience was 24 million listeners every week. And he was quite a lovable person. He was caring, educated, very wise. And in my opinion, he seemed to almost embody the soul of America. And I mentioned him, and I brought him up in a fashion that he's known for, which is the rest of the story. And so you heard a little bit of the rest of the story with Paul Harvey. But at one point, I said all that just to quote him when he wrote about mothers. There's a famous monologue that he delivered on mothers, and I'll read that to you. He said, and on the sixth day, God looked down on Adam in his planned paradise and said, I need a nurturer. So God made a mother. God said, I need someone who feels deeply and loves fiercely, whose tears flow just as abundantly as their laughter, whose heart is as warm as their ability to guide and set limits is strong. I need someone whose influence on those they nurture is eternal. So God made a mother. God said, I need someone who can hear a sneeze through closed doors in the middle of the night, three bedrooms away, while Daddy snores next to her. Who could kiss the boo-boos, scare away the monsters under the bed, clean up the middle of the night accidents, and live off of 4 hours of interrupted sleep. So God made a mother. God said, I need someone who can ride the roller coaster of anxiety, hope, fear, and pride with an outward appearance of calm assurance as she sends her child off to his first day of school. I need someone who will buy the school supplies, drive for the field trips, help study for the history tests, fill out the permission forms, clap from the back row of the spring musical, and help coach a sport she's never played. I need someone to teach a child to tie her shoes, make new friends, handle disappointments, shop for a prom dress, and drive a stick shift. And when that child is 18, I need someone to ride that roller coaster of anxiety, hope, fear, and pride again as she sends her child away to college with that same calm, confident outside exterior. So God made a mother. God said, I need someone who's willing to jump in a car and drive children to school, soccer games, and piano lessons on a daily basis. I need someone who can run to the grocery store twice in a day because someone forgot to add something to the list. I need someone who can take the animals to the vet, drop off the dry cleaning, and pick up prescriptions, and still make sure dinner is on the table for the family to eat. So God made a mother. Somebody who realizes that children need to be allowed to grow, gain confidence in themselves, and be encouraged to be independent individuals and accept the path they choose. Somebody who realizes that their job is one where the better they are, the more surely they won't be needed in the long run. Somebody whose breath will be taken away when they visit their first newborn grandchild in the hospital. And their daughter looks at them with loving eyes and says, I hope I can be the kind of mom you are. Mom. So God made a mother. So for many of us, unfortunately, not all of us, but for many of us, we know exactly what it's like to look up into the eyes of someone who loves us deeply, truly, cares for us, nurtures us, supplies us with every need, and I'm speaking of us when we were infants, where if our needs weren't supplied, that was it. We'd be done. We know what it's like to look into the eyes of someone who loves and cares. And as I say, not everyone does, but many of us know what that's like, to feel the security and the warmth. Maya Slavitz stated in a Psychology Today article from 2010, I'm pulling an excerpt from that. She said that touch is even more vital than this. Babies who are not held, nuzzled, and hugged enough can stop growing. And if the situation lasts long enough, even die. The love of a mother is vital. It's vital not only to the individual, but it's extremely vital to the whole of society. In fact, in 1865, William Ross Wallace published a poem. I'm going to try to read that for you, too. The poem is entitled, What Rules the World? Blessings on the hand of women, angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place, would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy is the tender fountain. Power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets from them souls unresting grow. Grow on for evil or good. Good or evil. Sunshine streamed or evil hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Women, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and a sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle rules is the hand that rules the world. So to fathers, I'm the only one in the room, but to fathers, you have more than one woman to thank on Mother's Day. Everyone else who's not a father, you can join me in thanking your mother, not only thanking, but sharing heartfelt gratitude, love, and respect, and sincere appreciation. When you think about moms, when you think about your mom, there are a lot of qualities that come to mind. There are a lot of things that, a lot of points that can be made. The first one that comes to mind is that of unconditional love. Have you ever, and you don't need to raise your hands, especially in this room, because I know the stories, but have you ever disappointed yourself? Have you ever disappointed or embarrassed the family? Have you ever been so upset at things, and yet you know clearly that your mother loves you? And that even though the disappointment is there, and you might have even disappointed her, but it didn't change the love. It's one of the things that is so vital to people's lives, is that love. And we experience that from our mothers. What about patience? Mothers, how many times have you thought, how long before my child learns to brush their teeth every day on their own, like I told them? How long is it going to be before they're potty trained? How much more do I have to put up with? This is taking so long. But mothers exude that patience. What about understanding? You know, there are times when your mother looks at you and she can tell by the look on your face. She can tell by your stance, by how you're walking. She knows something's up. And usually, she pretty much knows what it is that is up. And so, I'm experiencing some technical difficulties there. I'm watching. Then, so the understanding. You get that from your mother. Your mother understands you. So back to the notes here. What about the aspect of your mother as a teacher? Always and ever a teacher. Always looking. She's always looking and watching to see, did you learn? Are you starting now to follow through? Are you starting to apply? But how many times does a mother put up with the three-year-old saying, why? 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 I told you the story in the past about meeting with a mother and a daughter. And while I was waiting to talk with the mother, the daughter, who was about age 3 at the time, was asking a million times the why, why. And at first I thought, well, that's cute. And then I said, well, you know, she's 3, so about 3, so that kind of fits. And then I was talking with the mother, and after one or two statements, the mother said, why? I was like, oh, well, maybe it's just the way it is in this house. But there's this the teaching aspect, constantly answering why and explaining. Another aspect from the mother that is so tremendous is the fact that she's always an encourager. She's always looking for a way to build you up, to lift you up, to prop you up, no matter what the circumstance is, a constant source of encouragement. Another great aspect of mothers that I've seen, and I know my boys have watched this, is a sense of humor. Laughter is said to be the shock absorber of life. And I can tell you, especially in this house with Kathy, and I've observed this for, decades now, she can be in a discussion with her sister, and they can be disagreeing about something, and they can be pretty emphatic about disagreeing with each other. And as I'm listening to the tones get a little sharp and get a little loud, the next thing I hear is gales of laughter. They just break out into laugh, and it's like, wait a minute. A second ago, you were pretty shrill, and now it's just laughing. The sense of humor and being able to laugh at yourself or laugh at your sister, that is something that the mothers provide in the home. Another thing, it's not on my list, but I've marveled at the fact that when the boys and I are here at the house and Kathy is out and about doing something, it's pretty quiet around here. It's kind of boring. It's like dead around here. Until she walks through that door. All of a sudden, four boys, they come to life. They start talking. They're sharing with her everything that they don't tell me. But there's just something about life that enters this house when mom walks in. She is a provider. You know, she's always thinking about, well, there's another meal coming up. What am I going to make? She's always thinking about the fact that they need school supplies. We got to buy them some more clothes. We got to get them some new shoes. Constantly thinking about providing. And that's a good thing, because I can tell you I wouldn't really think about it. They'd have to tell me they need something. But she's also a great sustainer. It doesn't matter if there's only so much food left for dinner. She will always make sure that the boys have eaten. And if I start to look at seconds, she'll start to look at me and make sure the boys, did they have a chance yet? But I've seen plenty of times when she's had a small amount for the first serving. There's still a little bit left. But before she would go get the rest of what she should have had for the first portion, she asked the boys, you want any of this for seconds? And she's quite willing that they take the seconds and that she has less. So moms are sustainers. And it's a good thing that I wasn't leading that, because I would have had it. Kids have got to experience tough times sometime. Moms are great when it comes to healing. You know, when you're small and you've got just the slightest little boo-boo, and you ask mom to kiss it and make it better. Later on in life, you realize that there are boo-boos that kisses can't take care of. But moms are always there, and they're providing the emotional salve. They're always there in a healing way. Sometimes that healing way is providing a distance, letting the child have a time of calm and peace. Other times, the wise mother doesn't allow that distance and doesn't allow that silence, but comes in and provides the healing. That comes to the next point, that moms are a great source of wisdom. They're always watching the kids. They're always listening. They're always discerning. And they're always willing to share some advice and give you some correction. It's a particular benefit here in my house, given the fact that Kathy's the only woman. And so there's quite a slant to how everything is processed in this house. It's a strongly male slant, and which is, I think it's a fine thing. But Kathy provides a whole lot of balance for that. And that's where that wisdom comes in, because it does take both the man and the woman and the women. So another aspect that mothers provide is they're setting boundaries. One of the things that Kathy and I have agreed on is that children need to know that they're loved, and they need to know that there are boundaries There are rules, and the children need to know that they're not the ones in charge. But these are boundaries that moms and dads set, and the moms have to hold on to. Another great thing that we see from our mothers is grace. So often, mothers want to give grace. Times when the children really need a hickory switch or something. And instead, what they do is the mother provides grace. And closely tied with the topic is that of mercy. And I think we've all experienced times when our dad has been livid about something and about to apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, or seat of knowledge. I forget how the expression goes, but I remember how it works. But anyway, there have been times when dad has been livid and he's going to take it out, and mom steps in and just kind of settles things down a little bit, relaxes. That's because she is geared toward grace and mercy. And fortunately for us, mercy, she's brought that about. Another point with mothers is the friendship that we get. She is always a listening ear, always a shoulder to cry on. In fact, there are times when you might not really want to cry on a shoulder. You might not really want to talk, but that the mother who wants to be a friend is going to make every opportunity for you to talk and to share. But you know, one of the benefits that we get from that is, I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but in my teenage years, my parents were the closest friends I had. There was nothing at all that I had not discussed with my parents. And I felt the freedom to say anything. I wasn't worried about, there's always the insecurity about, are people going to accept me when I say something? But I always knew that mom and subsequently dad, I would be safe to share with them those things. And again, as I go through this list, I know not everyone has experienced these things, and I know that not every mother is perfect in each one of these realms. Some are stronger in one and weaker in another. But these are things that we can see from our mothers. They always ask for more. They always know that there's more in you. You can try harder, you can work harder, you can perform better, and I'm not accepting the fact that you got an okay grade. I'm not accepting that, Brandon, what was it, 4.3? 4.5? It should have been, I'm sure your mother thinks it should have been a 4.6. But the mothers are always pushing for more. Sometimes they use silence as a way to teach you. Sometimes that silence is a way to draw you back to them. Sometimes when there's silence, you know it's time for you to walk out of the room and leave that alone. One of the other benefits with mothers is that one-on-one time. There is a bond between a mother and her children, and that starts from day one when they're born. And when the only thing that the newborn baby can focus on, the only thing close enough to see, is its mother's eyes. And it's attuned to its mother's voice from the time of birth or even before birth, perhaps. And so there's that connection. And then that connection is nurtured through the years. And I know when I've talked with my parents about the fact that I mentioned earlier that my parents are, during my teenage years, were the closest friends that I had. And part of that comes from, as my mother explained to me, when I was 1, 2, 3 years old and I started talking about whatever nonsensical, worthless thing to listen to, she tuned in and she listened and she made it clear that she's eye contact. She's listening to me prattle on about nothing, which I still do to this day. But she would be listening, and that made that connection so that when there was something heavy on my heart, the connection was there and I could talk. And that same, that one-on-one connection, that's one of the things that all of us have experienced, many of us have, with our mothers. It's a singleness of focus. I mentioned this earlier, being a listener. Moms are always willing to listen. It's part of their nature. It's part of how they're driven. But they're always listening to what's going on and what's being said. Respectful of your space. At times, they know, give them some space and let them alone. Another great point that moms are very good at, most moms are very good at, and that's forgiveness. There's a lot of times that we make a lot of mistakes, we say a lot of things wrong, we do a lot of things wrong, and we experience that forgiveness from our mothers. And a lot of times it's because their driver is, I want the relationship more than I want to punish you. And so they forgive. Trust is another one that's huge. You know that you can talk with her about whatever is on your heart and mind, and you can trust that connection. Mothers are enablers. I don't mean that in the negative psychological sense, but I mean they're enabling. They're giving you what you need. They're helping you to grow and to become independent and stand on your own. And so they're giving you the resources that you need. Another point, quite simply, is they're self-sacrificing. And again, I mentioned this earlier, whether it's portions of meals or whether it is there's only a few dollars left in the wallet, but we're still going to spend it on the kids. They're very self-sacrificing, very giving of themselves for the purpose of their kids. The last point that I have here is a quote from a blogger, and I think the name is Thrifty Mum, M-U-M. Thrifty Mum is the blogger. And the you're laughing, and I haven't even said the funny part yet. So anyway, the quote from this blogger is, she said, the most important things are, and I quote, a clean bum and a full tum. Anything else is a bonus. And so it is important that we celebrate Mother's Day. Obviously, we wouldn't be here without you. And life, as I read earlier, when it comes to the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mothers are the ones that really do form and shape a lot, a huge part of society. God has designed women in a very unique way. I recall Jerry Clower, a storyteller from way back. He had a phrase, he was talking about high society women, and he said, and I'm quoting him, I could tell she was a woman by the way what her dungarees fit her. And so it's just a humorous quote there, but God has designed these differences on purpose, not just from they look different, but the fact that they think different. There's a couple of book titles that I like to go back to. You may have heard of these books. You may have read these books. One of them is Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Another book title that explains this difference is the book entitled Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. As I delved into that book a little bit, I like the analogy. The picture is pretty clear. A waffle is this square-shaped thing with little tiny squares. And everything basically has its own little compartment. And men, this is how we process things. This goes in this compartment. That goes in this compartment. This belongs in this compartment. And we do not mix things from this compartment with that compartment. They are not connected. They are separate compartments. Women, on the other hand, are like spaghetti. If you have ever put a fork in a plate of spaghetti and began to twirl, you'll notice that all of a sudden it gets balled up and it's huge. And not only is it this huge ball, but it actually, when you started twirling over here, spaghetti started moving from over there. Because when you're, apparently for women, everything is connected to something else that's connected to something else. And so when I'm talking about something in this compartment, I'm only dealing with this compartment. But in my wife's mind, this compartment actually connects to that compartment, which connects to that one, which is back 20 years ago when we got married, it was this, because when your mother said that when you were a child, it's because her parents said this. And you're like, this is my compartment here. What does all that have to do with it? It's right here. This is my compartment. So there are these differences. And I do want to get back to the point that God has made men and women differently, and he expresses himself through those characteristics differently. And so we have, those of us who've had great mothers, we have seen some of the characteristics of God. We've seen his character portrayed through our mothers. But no one's perfect. Some women are very nurturing, but they lack discipline with the kids. Maybe some are great on encouragement, but they're kind of slow on patience. Some might be wonderful in expressing grace, but they have a really short fuse. So there's this ebb and flow. These are the great characteristics of mothers, and some do some things better than others, and some don't do some of those very well at all. So in talking about mothers, and it's Mother's Day, I want to give an encouragement to mothers. Where do you go when you know the right thing to do and you don't do that? You can't help but go the other way. You really want to do the right thing, but you really just can't right now. You really want to show grace, but you're going to snap. What do you do with that? Now, I don't want to just single out mothers. We can really open that up to women. We can really open that up to men. Okay, everybody on the planet, have you ever known what's the right thing to do and not been able to, not wanted to, not been willing to, and about to snap and go the other direction? So what do you do with that? So with the with this being, I want to come back to the fact that this is Mother's Day. And I don't want to swerve off topic of Mother's Day and begin to talk about fathers. But, you know, when you think about God, there's Jesus, who is the Son of God. There's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, or the other person not listed, is God the Father. And so now we're into this Father aspect. There's the Son aspect. Well, where's Mother in that list? Again, I'm not getting into a big, long I don't know the answer, so we'll just cut that short. I don't know why there's not a mother listed there. Is it the Holy Spirit? I don't know. But God's characteristics, there are some of his characteristics that are more clearly seen by the Lord Jesus. There are some that are more clearly seen by God the Father. And so I want to just lay aside the whole Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all that kind of family terms, and just talk about the character of God, because really it is God who shows us these things that we're looking at our mothers for. So it's God who shows us the unconditional love. In fact, if you look at John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And if you look at Romans 8:38-39, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's that unconditional love that nothing can separate us from. And Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so when it comes to unconditional love and loving those who are unworthy, God is clearly the source of unconditional love. Another topic to talk about that we receive from our mothers is that of patience. So 2 Peter 3:8-9 says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so it's really the patience of God. We think that he's taking his own sweet time. We think that whatever God's doing is taking too long, but it's actually God's patience. It's God's patience that makes us think he's taking so long. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness." Again, he is slow to anger. And that is a great thing, that God is slow to anger. If his fuse was anything like mine or other people that I've seen, we'd be in bad shape. We would probably just not be here. God as provider. We talked about how the mother is constantly providing for the needs of the family and the children. Well, Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16 says, "As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him," that is Christ, "him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." It's a lot of words there in those few verses, but the point is this, that the body being connected to the head supplies the body with everything that it needs. Christ, the Lord Jesus, is our head, and he's the one who supplies everything that we need. As to wisdom, our mothers, we look to them for a lot of wisdom, but it's actually the Lord is our source of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31 says, "But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." And so again, really all these aspects that we love to see from our mother, they are actually just a representation of what we see in our relationship with the Lord. There's the topic of grace, the topic of mercy. I could come up with a long list of verses and stories that reveal the grace of God and the mercy of God. The fact that we deserve to be punished. We deserve eternity in hell, and he doesn't give that to us. For those who believe that we don't have to endure that punishment. But not only are we not sent to hell to spend eternity there, but God gives us his grace, his blessings on top of that, seals himself within us. The fact that he's always pulling for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So he's got a plan for you, and he wants more out of your life than what you're currently giving. And he's the source for that. He knows that you can do more. Now, when I say you can do more, that sounds an awful lot like what the world says with you can do more. You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can improve yourself. You can give harder and better, do more. But I'm talking about like what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." And Romans 8:37 says, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." The fact that God is our enabler, again, using the term properly. Galatians 2:20 says, "I'm crucified with Christ." That's not the verse I wanted to quote. It's a good verse, though. Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not me, but Christ lives in me." The verse I was looking for, and I don't have the reference written down, but you know it, is, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I'm thinking it's 4:13. What book? Philippians 4:13. That's very encouraging when your sons give you the reference. The fact that God is also self-sacrificing, literally. Romans 8:31 through 32 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" And so God actually sacrificed himself, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to have the relationship with us. So in conclusion, As I said, just a brief message this morning, nothing in depth, but very true that mothers, we greatly appreciate you. We're very thankful for you. You are extremely loved. And just like every one of us in our Christian walk, there are aspects of motherhood that you may not be able to fulfill. They might be more than what you can handle. I know the same thing with me and my Christian life. There are expectations, requirements, and things that should happen that are way beyond me. But it works the same for you mothers as it does for everyone else, that the ability is not in you. There is one person who has the ability. There's one person who has done it all. There's one person who is everything that a mother should be, needs to be, ought to be. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the key to success as a mother is the same key to success for being a Christian, for being a son or a daughter, for being a father, a mother, husband, wife. And that is relying upon God. It's the indispensable principle, not only of Bible study, as my father-in-law often says, but it's that indispensable principle of Christian living where it's totally relying upon God. I don't have the ability. He does. When I try, it's my effort. It has to fail. Even if I appear to succeed, God has got to crush it because it's my effort. And so it is totally relying upon God. When duty calls as a mother to be forgiving and you can't, he can. When duty calls as a mother to be self-sacrificing and you really don't want to, he does. Same thing for the believer. When you and I as believers are called upon to forgive the absolutely unforgivable, we can't, we don't want to, he can, he did. He is the forgiveness. And the list goes on and on. So I will conclude by saying that we got to stop trying to improve ourselves. Because, in fact, our old nature that we're trying to improve was crucified with Christ. Our old nature is already dead. You can't improve something that's dead. All you can do is let it be dead. And then you can allow the one who is alive and living, who has everything you're looking for, you can allow him to live out his life through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you do far abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. So we thank you for our time together. We ask that you continue to draw us in our relationship with you and help us to let you live out your life through us for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.